Hello and welcome. Take two on the Open All Hours podcast. The first one went pear-shaped because I didn't stick my charger in. And then Clint couldn't find his charger. Oh, yeah, we got Clint Hill on. I might as well do it now. I've given it away. And we have Simon Hall back from a parents' evening, looking even more stressed than what he was 2 hours ago. You all right, Simon?
To be fair, mate, I was absolutely fine until about 7:42. Yeah, everything's good, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. Steve Bernard from QPR Analytics. Is that right?
Yeah, QPR Analytics. Yeah, good to be here again, Paul. And I am keeping as optimistic as possible, just like I was a couple of weeks ago when I made that wonderful prediction that we already had a foot in next season's championship. So, but yeah, keep the faith. That's all I'll say.
And we did it. We did a great interview with Clint. We're going to have to do it again. Clint, congratulations on promotion, on Pip and Wrexham, and hopefully you won't be the bad guy in the Netflix documentary, whatever it is, or Disney Plus, or whatever it is they're on. Is it Netflix or is it Disney?
Oh, I ain't got a clue, mate. Yeah, but I think we've stopped the Hollywood ending, haven't we, which has been good. Yeah, league winners, mate. League title in the bag.
Well done.
A great performance the other night, winning 5-2 away. So we can relax a little bit. We've got two games now before the end of the season. We lift a trophy on Saturday, which will be amazing in front of our fans. So great end to the season, pal.
Out of interest, and I know it's not really that interesting to everyone else in the whole world, but to us it is because it's the little guys against the big guys. Their budget's massive, right? Am I just thinking that?
Oh, yeah. It's big. It's a big budget. They've got some players there on decent money. We've got a good budget as well. The owner backs us, so we can't complain in terms of having money to spend. So thankfully, we got the job done. Top of the league, two games to go. Like I said, we can enjoy it and have a great party on Saturday.
Many congratulations. I will have to depress you by talking about QPR, Clint. I do apologise in advance.
Every time I come on here, man, it's hard, isn't it?
How do you think we picking Phil? I mean, I thought we were out of... I mean, Clint, what is going on in football these days? Why does it keep kicking you in the balls? I mean, we thought we were out of it, and now we're looking at it. And it'd be great to play you next season, but I'd rather wait another year.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'll take that as well, mate. I'll take that for sure. I mean, I think he had a great run. Was it Swansea, Birmingham? And then I think Bristol City. Was it Bristol City as well? Three big, massive performances, wasn't it?
Leicester
as well. I mean, so he kind of turned the ship around because he inherited a club that was probably very low in confidence on the pitch and culture as well. We talked about culture last time I was on. That didn't seem to be correct as well. And he seems to have turned it around. He got some good results there. But just seems to just can't pull away from that, from those kind of bottom three, four, five who, well, I think, what was it, 3 points?
Three.
Yeah.
So I think 3 points.
I think it's a massive game. Got Preston at home. Yeah. That's a must-win game. Must-win game. So Leeds at home and then Coventry away. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then, I've done a bit of homework here. I think Sheffield Wednesday played Blackburn. Stoke played Plymouth. So it's a must-win game. A must-win game Saturday.
I love the fact you've got promotion. You're still worried about the Rangers.
I have to, yeah, of course I am.
You're one of our own, Clint.
It's been a big part of my life, hasn't it?
it's depressing, isn't it? I mean, Sam, we went Saturday, didn't we? And it was kind of like, ouch.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
I have to say, it's not been a great, it hadn't been a great week. And yeah, I mean, after Swansea, I think what Steve said about one foot in is absolutely right. 6 points clear with about five games to play, and then realistically, probably winning one at Sheffield Wednesday, Plymouth, and Hull. I think we'd have been absolutely fine. I still think that one win out of three, and I think we'll be absolutely fine, particularly given what Clint said with some of the other fixtures which are coming up. But yeah, it's been a real curate seg of a week. Sheffield Wednesday and Hull, bad performances, although probably in reflection, I was a bit harsh on us on Saturday. Hull did play very well. The real one we threw was Plymouth, where we had so many chances to win that game. And because of one mistake by Begovic, and I'm sure we'll come on and talk about him a little bit later on, We had a great opportunity there, particularly given how the results came the day after, where Birmingham lost, Stoke lost, Blackburn lost. Blackburn got absolutely spanked by Bristol City. It was a real missed opportunity. And that's really the story of our season. We've had about eight chances to get out of it. And probably with the exception of Birmingham, that's we haven't taken any of them. So it was a frustrating time. And to be fair to Plymouth, to then go and beat Leicester 1-0, fair play. But they were right for the taking that night. But it's gone back to our age-old end of the season. Struggling in goal. As I say, Begovic seems to have got older in time. And up front, we just ain't got anyone to score. And Cifuentes has done a wonderful job sorting the defence out, sorting midfield. Probably been, what was it, apart from Leeds, conceding the least number of goals since he came in. Absolutely wonderful achievement, what he did, given we were conceding two a game under Ainsworth. But I'm still just about on the right side of optimistic about it. However, we've made it a damn sight harder than we needed to.
Well, the thing is, before I come on to Steve, I'm going to go back to you, Clint, because Clint's got an urgent appointment with the TV in a while. Something to do with teams that end up in Europe. I don't know these things. Apparently, you get into Europe at some point. Who knew? Our problem, Clint, this is going to be a correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen, Simon, but this is going to be a second year in a row where none of the strikers have hit double figures. That's quite incredible, isn't it? I mean, that's not good, is it?
No, I mean, I've just had a look there. Have they scored 40 goals?
Yeah.
40 goals, which it's low. It's very low. You either have to be extremely, extremely good defensively and pick up a lot of clean sheets, because it's not really a good mix to have with if you're kind of conceding goals and you don't score many, because that puts pressure on you as a team. Because if you know you go 1-0 down, then you start thinking, well, there's not many goals in the team. God, this is going to be an absolute grind. So that's been a big worry, a big concern, that they haven't had that kind of striker who get you 15, and then you need midfielders chipping in with 5 or 6 here and there. You need the defenders off set plays. I mean, I don't know what they're like set play wise attacking, but that's been a big part of our structure this season. We scored 24, 25 goals from set plays. So wow. It's a massive, massive part of the game, for and against, by the way, because it's not doing well scoring them, because if you concede them the other side. So I don't care what league you're in, what standard it is, set plays for and against are absolutely huge, huge.
But can I ask then, Clint, how have you gone about doing that? Because one of the things, to be fair, Cifuentes has done in the past, the goal to corner was like a penalty, and we were really, really struggling with that. And he's made a few subtle changes with putting the likes of Dykes, Dunn, Field, tall people back in. How easy is it to sort of coach set pieces, and what sort of things have you done to try and make Stockport as effective as they are on that?
Well, it's not, I'll be honest with you, it's not something players like doing, because you're standing around for a bit of time, you're listening to coaches talk, you're going through certain routines. It might be a crap day, windy. It's not a nice thing to do. I didn't enjoy it as a player myself, but we do try and make it fun. We kind of build them into small-sided games as well. So we're trying to be creative in the way we do things. We do show a lot of analysis. We show meetings before and after in terms of how well we did and certain routines, and how we can use our blockers as well, which are massive. But at the end of the day, because this comes down to the basics, can you put the ball in good areas? Have you got the desire to go head it towards goal or head it away from goal? They're the three key ingredients, really, for me. Do the basics superbly.
Steve, do you want to come in?
Yeah, well, to answer the question about set pieces and how we're doing, we're joint third lowest in the league for goals from set pieces. Only Blackburn and Plymouth have got worse returns from set piece goals. But yeah, that... You're absolutely right. We've had the opportunities, plenty of them, but we just don't make the most of them. It's a real shame. But just going back to the whole game, I think for me, that one was always, I think that was always one that we were going to struggle with, just because they're a really quality outfit. They've got some serious players that they've brought in, even in January, who are, you know, virtually Premier League players. And it just felt on the back of the away game at Plymouth, you know, which was that's a long trip. You know, it was a draining match, and it just felt having the next game a few days later away to Hull. That's not a kind fixture. And there was some really interesting stuff posted by I think it's TW Football. It's 1867. It's a Sheffield Wednesday kind of analytics account, and this guy was talking a lot about how if you actually analyse the points return from teams that play an away game a few days after another away game, so it's kind of 3 or 4 day break, your chances of winning that game as the away team kind of diminishes quite significantly. Yeah. And so, you know, you kind of add all that stuff up together, Plymouth, Hull, quality opposition, etc. It doesn't surprise me how that kind of panned out. The problem with that weekend was that we're obviously looking at a load of other fixtures and results, and you've got Birmingham beating Coventry, which you probably wouldn't have priced in, certainly not beating them. I think it was 3-0, wasn't it? You know, you've got Blackburn beating Leeds away, you know, and talking about double away, Blackburn, that was a double away match for Blackburn. That game was just totally, that was nuts, that result. and then you've got Huddersfield kind of almost winning against Bristol City, and we got a bit of a favour from the referee in that game, definitely.
Oh, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, so this is the problem. So we lose to Hull, okay, you know, sort of price that in a little bit. But some of those other results were pretty damaging, especially the Birmingham one, I think, because Birmingham have looked like really, they're all over the place in terms of the managers, in terms of some of those players. We've talked about them so much, the ex-QPR players in there, etc. But them getting that win, and the fact that next weekend, so after this weekend, I think they play Huddersfield, you know, that's when we almost need kind of Birmingham to win now, because we kind of just need Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday to be as pinned down as possible. There was a bit of a compounding weekend last weekend. Really disappointing performance against Hull. I'd love to know from Clint, you know, as someone who's played the game.
Yeah, what yourself or Clint?
Okay. You can answer if you want, Finny. Up to you. It's really about what role does fatigue play at this point of the season? Because if you look at, well, it was just because you look at what's happening at the top end of the Championship, and everyone's saying, oh, how come Leeds and Leicester and Ipswich just can't get over the line? And there's got to be something about fatigue, about those three teams and Southampton, to be fair, have driven each other kind of really hard all season. Mm. And we're at the end of the season, and they're starting to flop a little bit. And you even look at Arsenal and Liverpool in the last week and what's happened with them. You know, we've got a really small squad compared to some of those other teams. And if they're struggling with fatigue, if they're struggling with physical and mental fatigue, what do you think the effect of that is on a small squad like we have?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's the nature of the beast, doesn't it? I mean, the Championship is a relentless, unforgiving league, no matter where you are on the table. Like you said there, those away games, was it Plymouth away and then Hull away on a Saturday, Tuesday, is that? Or Tuesday,
yeah,
Saturday?
Tuesday, Saturday, yeah.
I mean, that's a slog. That is a slog. And especially against a whole team who, like you said, have got some good players in that team on a big pitch. And unfortunately, fatigue does play a massive part in it. And especially when results probably ain't going for you, that pressure can obviously have a massive effect on where you are mentally. And all of a sudden, the smallest little thing becomes a big thing, and that plays on your mind, and it just feels heavier. And it's hard to see the positives in most things, unfortunately, when you're down that bottom. So they've got to, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but I mean, you go back to the Warnock days in terms of how we took pressure off you as a team. You might not even play football. You might just go out. You might not even go into the training ground, because sometimes being in the training ground and being around football can be a drain as well, especially when things ain't going right for you. So you might need to take a step. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you might need to take a step away from it, training, and just go do something mad. I don't know. Go for a walk. Go play a different sport or basketball, or just do something just to maybe just give you a little bit of a refresher in your mind. And that might make the difference. It really does. But it's a hard, relentless, unforgiving league, and it takes a special character to get through those seasons, you know, year after year, and not let it affect you.
What I was going to say was, how difficult is it knowing you just need those 3 points, Clint? You've got three games, You just need 3 points. Is it sometimes mind over matter? Like you just said, just go out. In the old days, you'd go on the piss. Obviously, they're athletes these days, they do that.
Well,
you know,
I don't know.
Obviously, not Clint will say nothing. But like, you know what I mean? It just seems that we need to do something because it's hanging over us, and it's a massive game. I mean, the worst thing is Preston have got nothing to play for, and that worries me.
Yeah.
Because you know, you just think, well, are they going to go on the beach? Are they going to just let it just oh, sod this for Game of Soldiers? Or is it just going to be one of them games where we try everything, they get one lucky deflection, and then you got Leeds in Coventry? It's like, it's such a worry. What would you do? Be saying to your Stockport players at this point?
Well, I mean, I'll go back to my own career at QPR. We were, we were looking for those 3 points, I think, to kind of guarantee us the league title, but we kept getting draws.
That's right.
They were the hardest bloody points to get. You're so close, but you're so far away. It sounds ridiculous. Those last points, even to a certain extent, maybe what we've gone through this season, because you can see the finish line. Anything, it's just there. It's just there. Come on, we'll do it today. And if it doesn't come today, then that drags on a little bit, and that can maybe affect your mentality as well. But they've got at home against Preston. You can't have no regrets, man. You can't have no regrets as a player. You've got to go out there and just get on the front foot from the start, get the fans right behind you, ask questions about Preston, where they are mentally, like you just said. Do they want to be in the beach or do they want to be at Loftus Road with a big crowd behind them and a team that's on the front foot putting them under pressure? You've got to go and ask them questions. And I think most fans would want to see the team do that. And if it didn't happen and they got a lucky goal and they lost 1-0, but they've seen their team do that, then they go, today, the football gods weren't with us. On to next week. You know what I mean? So just got to have no regrets. Get right into them from the start. Turn them, whatever you need to. It doesn't even have to be pretty. They would take a crappy, shitty 3-0. 1-0 win, 3 points, get it done. But I just think just got to go at it. Front foot, ask them questions. Corners, free kicks, everything. Let's go. Get on the front foot. Got nothing to lose.
Simon?
I think there's three things coming in our favour today for the Preston game that we might not have done. First of all, we made the point about fatigue. I mean, I don't know if anyone watched them against Southampton. Southampton were very good on Tuesday night in that first half. But if Preston want to defend anything like they did in that first half, crack on, because they gave so many opportunities away. But now, obviously, it's caveated with having Chad Adams, Adam Armstrong and so on. It's slightly different to having Mitchie Frey and Lyndon Dykes. But we will have opportunities there. The second real advantage is the 5:15, is the fact that it's 5:15 and it's not a 12:30 or anything like that. Enough time in Shepherd's Bush, a fair few hours, and I think people will be ready for it because they know what an important game it is. And I think the third thing as well, and we want to go back to fatigue, and I think one of the things that we do need to give credit for this season, and we were sceptical at the start when Ainsworth and Dobson were saying about the side being half cooked for Ipswich, so they could only last 65 minutes. And we were all at the beginning going, why the hell have they done that? I think we're beginning to see the signs of that now, in that we are very fortunate with regard to injuries. I mean, I think the only people out now are Frey and Colley. And we're in a really, really good position with injuries and fatigue. And I think the sports science staff have done a really good job, and I think they deserve credit for that. And I just want to go back to the 5:15 because you've obviously played in a few of them, Clint. What differences did you see in the 5:15 kickoffs compared to say 3 o'clock and 12:30? And did you prefer playing in them compared to any of the other ones?
I used to hate the morning ones, the early ones. It just didn't seem right. I mean, you get up at half eight, 9 o'clock, and you're expected to eat chicken and pasta and stuff like that. It just doesn't work for me. But I like the late games. I like the 3 o'clock games. I like the evening games. They were really special, you know. So I think that could work in the favour. Does knowing the results coming in before you play help as well? I don't know. That could probably have a big say in it as well in terms of how he approaches the game. You know, especially if he goes through goal for us.
The other thing to say, Clint, what is it? And this is a really stupid question, but then in my defense, I am stupid. What's the pressure on either end of the table for that 3 points? Is it the same, or when you're trying to survive, is it just that absolute fear of shite your pants if it goes wrong?
It's both important. They're both so important. You both want them so much. You know what I mean? But I just think it's nice. Listen, obviously, it's so easy to say. It's nice when you're at the top chasing things. It really is. But I think playing both ends of the table in my career, it's a different mentality, mate. It's horrible being down there because you just know that it affects so many people. You know, I've been in a team where we got relegated, and unfortunately, people have to lose their jobs, and the club has to
Jesus.
alter budgets, and people behind the scenes have to leave, and it's not a nice thing. It's not a nice thing to go through, especially for people who've been around the club for a number of years and have a good connection with it. You know, so you do have that side of it, and nobody wants to be associated with a relegation, do they? Unfortunately, you just don't want it on your CV. Unfortunately, I have, but. They're both hard points to get, especially when they're so close, really so close. But it just needs, like I said, just when you look back at your own career, you just got to go for it. You can't have no fear. I know it's easy to say now when you sit back in your chair, but you've got to have no fear. You've just got to go and attack the day and just make sure when you come off, you go, you know what? We give everything. We give everything. I'm sure the fans will appreciate that as well. Whether if they see the team on the front foot, giving it, having shots, having crosses, and like I said, if the football gods are with you, then most likely you'll get a win or you'll get a point.
We can do it now.
But
I know we're going over time, and you've got to watch the football. So I'm just gonna.
we're
Are you?
tuning
Oh, okay.
up. Oh, Johnny, joking. I wish we were.
Well, you never know. Have as well. We're talking about we're talking about faith, Clint. You can't. Are you surprised that Rangers are in the position they're in again?
Without knowing too much, obviously I don't know what's going on inside the building. But I always think if you pause or you stand still as a club, then unfortunately people are going to start catching you up. And I think that the lack of investment in probably that top end of the team, it's so hard to not it's so hard to fill the goals of a natural striker. Especially when the team isn't doing it as a whole. You know what I mean? So you need goals in your team. You need goals in your team. And that's either one magnificent one or four or five who chip in with five, eights, nines, tens. You need them in your team. You need goals at every level. Unfortunately, I don't think QPR have had them, unfortunately.
So,
It's hard to say.
going in with that, and obviously you've worked very closely in League Two. Obviously, no one from Stockport. We wouldn't want to do that. But is there anyone else who you've noticed in League Two who, A, could potentially make the championship, but B, could potentially do it on our budget? So I take Grant and Asante Thomas at West Brom went from Salford, and he only went for 350,000, and he's fitted in really well there. Is there anyone potentially in League Two that you think we could be looking at?
And I think this, I mean, obviously you've got the top end strikers, but it might even be a loan player. I mean, we took Louis Barry from Aston Villa, and wow, what a player. He changed the whole dynamic of our team. He went on a run of seven, I think seven games, seven goals. He equaled the record. But he was so creative, so on the front foot, if you know what I mean. He got the ball, he took people on. He was so positive in his play. And then he went out and done his, I think it was his hamstring, I think. And we lost him for, God, well, most of the season. He's only just coming back now. And it's such a big loss. It's important that you've got other players in behind trying to fill that. They might not get the eight goals, nine goals that he got, but they might get two or three, and if four or five of them are doing it, it's brilliant. But he's, there's players here that could definitely make the step up. I think Colchester have got some exciting young players. You know, it might look different because of the position they find themselves in the table, but they've got some real good players, good athletes with real pace and a danger. But I think it's the loan market as well. If you can if you can get really good players from Premier League clubs, they can be the little diamonds that you need.
Well, Bradley was playing for Bolton last season, wasn't he? It's just it's one of them shames. We don't seem to be getting them sort of players. Or we had Tim from Villa who did well. It just seems, but do they cost a lot of money, Clint, when you get these players in from loan?
Or I mean, I think that some of these clubs are realistic in terms of us. I mean, for us to get Louis from Aston Villa, obviously being a League Two club, was a real coup. And I think they'll probably look at it and go, okay, League Two can't afford everything he's on, so the contribution will be realistic. But now we've gone into League One, I think our market opens massively in terms of Premier League clubs are willing to let their better players out to League One clubs. Championship, they should definitely be looking at Championship. I mean, the amount of clubs around QPR, surely there's connections there to get good players in, surely.
But so much of this sort of comes down to just good recruitment, doesn't it? I mean, it's interesting you talk about investment in the forward line and stuff, because when Eze got sold, we spent, you know, somewhere around £4 million on Lyndon Dykes and Macaulay Bonn. And okay, you can argue that Dykes, you know, he has other elements to his game which make him a useful player at times. But in terms of goal return, it's non-existent from either of those two players. And then if you look at, and I hate doing this, and I always end up doing this on this pod, but yeah, if you look at Brentford, when they signed Ollie Watkins from Exeter, he cost less than £2 million. Yeah. And you look at what a player Ollie Watkins has become, and it's just recruitment. And I get it's not as easy as just, you know, it's not easy. Everyone's chasing these kind of rough diamonds. But we've talked about it a lot on this podcast before about recruitment and the academy and all that kind of stuff, and how we need much more production from the academy. And yeah, I just hope that we're in the kind of right space. I don't know if you know much about Christian Nouri and the new CEO who's come into QPR. They've got
I've seen his interview, but yeah, obviously I've seen his interview and everything.
Yeah, and he comes across as quite an impressive individual. You know, he's very young still, but certainly an impressive character. But I'm just hopeful that, I think we're all hopeful, obviously, that, you know, that new kind of voice in the club, someone who's got a background in analytical recruitment, you know, can start to bring in those rough diamonds. It's what's your approach to kind of recruitment at Stockport? I don't expect kind of trade secrets or anything, but kind of
I mean, so we've got a director of football who's heavily into the recruitment side. I think the kind of strategy's changed a little bit. Obviously, in the National League, they recruited experience and players who have played at a higher level. Now you've had to pay them good money. But it standed him in good stead, because obviously he got out of the National League. Then you go into League Two. And knowing that you've had those players who have played at a high level, you didn't really need to invest a lot. So then we started looking at, can we add goals? So like a Louis Barry in there, a Tanto Alafi as well. Kyle Wotton coming into the team, the striker. And then we just needed to add a little bit more stability in and around the back line. And we got close last year. We got really freaking close. It hurt when we didn't do it. And then this year, kind of kept the strength and the spine of the team. We've got wing backs who love to get forward. Wing backs who are quick, love to get forward and cross the ball. And we've got strikers who want to attack the ball and score off loads of crosses. So that was a big part of our game model. But then both wing backs got injured. So that was a big, big loss in terms of assists and our attacking strategy. So we had to be creative and be a little bit more patient in our build-up and stuff. So it's constantly evolving, this game, man. It's asked you questions every bloody week, because you've got injuries, you've got suspensions, you've got people out of form. So you have to be constantly willing to adapt and find different solutions to the problems that you find. Now, sorry, I'm waffling on it. So League One, again, we might have to change our strategy in terms of maybe looking at younger profile a player, and maybe, probably don't hold me to this, but maybe buy a few players in that are younger and develop them and kind of bring them along the journey for the next 4 or 5 years, hopefully. So so maybe that's another different kind of strategy that we're looking at for League One. Constantly evolving. But I'm with you on that in terms of recruitment is you live and die by it.
Yeah.
You live and die by your recruitment. You're not going to get everyone right, but you need to get a large portion of them right.
I think that's been our downfall, to be fair, for years. We seem to be looking in strikers in all the wrong places. I mean, I look at the lad that joined Blackburn and he scored so many goals and you think, these players are out there, but we seem to be bringing, I don't know, we just seem to be missing that. Like, I think that you mentioned Ollie Watkins, we had a choice between, we went to see Wheeler played and we got Wheeler instead. They're in the same team, Watkins, and we got, you know, and we spent the same sort of money. It's just, oh, I don't know, revolving doors, Clint, eh? Revolving flipping doors.
It's always the way. Yeah, I mean, it's just, listen, for me, I mean, Big Dyke seems to be, I haven't seen him play a lot, but is he getting the service? Is he getting enough crosses into the box for him to attack? Is the system at play soon? I'm just asking questions off you. I'm not watching games. I mean, there's so many variables in there. How do you get the best out of your strikers, man?
I think unfortunately with Linden's regressed quite significantly this season. Right. And first couple of years, you could really see what he was doing. Unfortunately, I actually thought he had a decent enough game against Plymouth. But the problem is at the moment is, yes, we can argue about service, and I didn't think he had much service at all on Saturday, but unfortunately, it's anticipation, being in the right place at the right time. And unfortunately, at the moment, for whatever reason, Dykes just isn't doing that. He's almost where the ball isn't. And if he's your lone striker, that's really frustrating. But the problem we've got is that all of the other strikers we've got have weaknesses as well. So, yeah, Armstrong's dangerous because he's really quick and can be quite physical, but he's really, really raw. He's got a lot of stuff to work on. So there's no real right or wrong answer at the moment. And yeah. I think if you go with what Cifuentes has done, and I've mentioned it earlier, without really a functioning strike force and a struggling goalkeeper, I think he's done an incredible job to even get us three points clear of relegation, because we looked down and out when Ainsworth ended up going. We were about 8 points off. I think it's going to be something we will look at. Honestly, I think if we can get rid of Dykes in the summer, potentially he might score a couple of goals in the Euros, who knows? We might get something, or if not, I think potentially we might be looking for something for him. He goes back to Scotland and then we just sort of go again from there. But yeah, he's regressed this season, unfortunately, and I've always had quite a lot of time for the bloke.
Yeah,
he was never better than when he had Charlie Austin next to him. You know, he went through a great kind of period, sort of back end of the first season he was here. And I think Austin was a really, really positive influence on him. And Austin took the pressure off him, off Dykes, being the only goal scorer in the team. It's a shame. I think he's not really looked the same player since, you know, Charlie left, really. And he's being asked to play so... He plays so deep now. He plays so deep in order to sort of liberate Willock and Chair and Anderson to an extent. And yeah, I agree with Simon. I was at Plymouth and he was okay. I mean, he did the job that was being required of him. But yeah, we just never really found the right way to use him. And I think it feels like with Linden, this might be unfair, and he might still be here next season, but it just feels like we've been here 4 years now. And I think maybe it's time to shake hands if we can somewhere down the line, see if we find a buyer. But that's just my view. I don't know. People might disagree, but yeah, tough one. Yeah.
But if you're looking out for League One, Hilly, and your owner thinks he's a great player, we think it'll be a great move for everyone concerned. Now, it's a shame because he's one of them players where you want him to work and you need him to work. And you think, because he always seemed to play well for Scotland, but it's just... I don't know. It's listen, Clint, it happens, doesn't it? It just doesn't happen. It stops. No.
Yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't fit. Unfortunately, you tried it and it just doesn't fit. And like you said there, maybe it is time to come to the end and he cracks on and tries to find a place where he can find his best form and QPR can move on and kind of find someone that can fill the role that they need them to do. So it probably is about the right time.
On the other hand, he could prove us all wrong and score loads of goals, and in which case, I'm happy to eat my words as it is. Now, Clint, I'm going to let you go because I know you want to watch football. And I do appreciate you joining us. And I'm still delighted that you care about QPR so much, mate. It just means a lot that you still look out for us.
And, always, mate, always, always.
You'll always be one of us. And again, well done on Pippin Wrexham. You must have really pissed up their documentary at the end. I love it.
Hey, I'm not going to say anything, but the smile says everything.
Clint, hopefully we'll bump into each other soon, mate. And thank you so much for coming.
We'll have a pint.
No worries, big man.
Guys, take care. Listen,
Andrew, have a good summer. Cheers, mate. Bye, Clint.
Fingers crossed.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Clint. Ciao, guys.
Bye.
Cheers. Ciao.
You just got to love him, haven't you? I mean, you just... And it's not bullshit that he cares about us. He really does. Every time he's been on the podcast, he spends more time talking about us than himself or his family, which is terrible, really, but hey-ho. And he's done well. He's done really well. Always interested in how he gets on with Mark Hughes in the dugout. That'll always be something. I'd love to see a little spy camera like Sky used to have between them two. But hey-ho. Right, I suppose we'd better talk about Rangers and Saturday and... 5:15 kickoff on Sky. Apart from the downside of things, I think we'll do it. I do think we will do it. I know it might just be false hope. I don't know, lads. What do you think, Simon?
I think I mentioned it a few minutes ago. I don't think you're going to have a better opportunity to play Preston. As I say, a downbeat Preston after the game on Tuesday, going back, going down south, up back down to London. We mentioned it. It's tough. The problem is, do I trust us to do it? And that's the big question at the moment. Is we seem to have hit a run of form at the worst time, where we're not scoring enough goals at the moment. I mean, what's the stat now? The last striker to score a goal was Sinclair Armstrong at Leicester. That's coming up to nearly 2 months. We can't be in a situation where we're doing that. Look, we've got every opportunity. We couldn't have asked for a better sort of game now. And I mean, let's be honest about it. If Norwich win at 3 o'clock, Preston will know for a fact they're out of the playoffs. What's that going to do with them with 20 minutes before kickoff? Look, it's there. It's there. We're not going to get offered a better chance. And yes, we've mucked up about 7 out of the 8. Surely, God, we can't make it 8 out of 9.
Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with a lot of what Simon's just said. It's, I mean, it's clearly out of the last three fixtures, it's clearly the one you look at and say, this is where the points have to come from. The concern about that and our sort of approach to that, our mindset about that, reminds me about those games in January where, you know, we had Watford and Millwall, Huddersfield, and we put a lot of, you know, we kind of created a lot of pressure around those games because we felt they were very important, and we ended up only getting 4 points out of the three games. It's not going to be an easy game. I absolutely agree with Simon that I can't believe that they're going to be that up for it if Norwich have won. But if Norwich don't win, of course, their season isn't over and they'll still be, you know, they still should be pretty motivated. We really could do with a win. I wouldn't be... do you know what, guys? I'm really not that devastated if we draw the game, because for me, it really is just about getting to 48, maybe 49 to keep us up. I don't know. It's going to be tough. They're very good fit. They're a very good team in terms of finishers. You know, they've got good forwards like Emil Reese. But interestingly, they've got the second worst XG away from home. And they've got they are actually generally the second lowest, they create the second lowest rate of chances. So they're not a particularly front foot team, but they do have good finishers. And my biggest fear with Rangers at the moment, and this was certainly true of the whole game, when they concede the first goal, that is a problem. And that's when I think it's fatigue, sort of mental fatigue more than anything, kind of sets in. You know, I wasn't at the whole game, so you guys would be better. Yeah, you guys can talk better about this than I can. But when I saw the updates coming through and we conceded a goal within 10 minutes or whatever it was, and they score a worldie, fair enough, okay. I just didn't get the sense we were ever going to get back into that game. Again, you guys were watching it. I could be wrong, but...
Smith had a chance that he sort of wasted again. You know, Yeah, start the second half.
Yeah, it's this thing about, you know, when you're, it's a long season, as, you know, as Clint was saying, it's a long season, it's draining, it's relentless. And I think if you do concede the first goal in these games, and I think if we do concede the first goal on Saturday, I do fear for us in that situation. And I fear for us also because the atmosphere could turn, the atmosphere could be difficult. I think it's going to go one of two ways, isn't it? It's going to go either we get the first goal and the atmosphere is electric in there, they get the first goal, it falls silent. And, you know, it's, I think the atmosphere, the crowd has a big role to play on Saturday. I think we just really got to get behind them. We have so many concerns about certain individuals in that team, whether it's Begovic or Willock or whoever. We just got to get behind everybody and not put tons of pressure on these individual players. Just on Begovic, because I know we were talking about it sort of before the pod was recording, but, you know, Begovic is what he is. You know, he's a 36-year-old goalkeeper who has barely played before this season that he's been here. And he's not going to be here next season. And I think we just have to accept that. He was brought in under a different manager to play a different type of football. He's not comfortable with how we play. But he's going to be the keeper for the last three games. And this might kind of grate with people, but we just have to get behind him. We really do, you know, despite all the Chelsea stuff and despite his poor form, just got to get behind him. Like, we've got to get behind every player. So, yeah, that's kind of my thing about the Preston game. Just let's make that atmosphere positive. Let's get behind the players and let's get us over the line, because I think we can do it. Like Simon said, it's there for us. Let's take the opportunity.
Before I bring Simon in, I just want to fill people in what we were saying. Sorry, Simon, I will bring in a second. Hold that thought. What we were saying before the pod, we were talking about this thing with Begovic going to Stamford Bridge and put it on his Instagram and the reaction, non-reaction, and the sort of people who didn't really care. I think from my point of view, it's just like, I just wish he didn't do it, because we're struggling. He's not playing well. He's bringing pressure on himself. And yes, he played for Chelsea, but as I always say, you know, people have got to be taught about the culture of the club. They've got to be taught about the rivalry. You know, like, you wouldn't get a Liverpool player doing it at Everton. You wouldn't get a Man U player doing it at Man City if they played for both or whatever. Just got to be careful. And it's, to me, it was just a bad idea. I'm not going to put him over the coals for it, because of course he doesn't love QPR. He's only been here one season. He's at the end of his career. And I don't know if you noticed, he's got a goalkeeping school as well. So he's got other affairs going on. And but I do agree, there's no point getting on his case, because if we make him nervous, God knows what he'll do. So we've got to get behind him. Simon, I just want to fill people in.
Sorry.
I mean, what I was gonna say with Steve's point about going a goal behind, I mean, the one positive we've had is that gone behind at Rotherham, gone behind against Birmingham, and we've actually turned it round in one game. So I think the one positive we can now have, which we probably wouldn't have done a few months ago, is we're confident that we can turn it around against these sort of sides. Okay. Again, I know the pressure is potentially going to be a bit different on Saturday, because, yeah, like it or not, it's a big game. It's a really big game. But to be fair, Birmingham was a really big game to try and sort of get that gap. They managed to find a way. And I think that's the thing we can go with. And I think they'll be confident. And I actually think the crowd will be less tense as a result of that, because I know full well that they are capable of coming back and potentially winning a game. I think the key thing is, and I suspect we'll do this, is getting on that front foot in the first 10, 15 minutes. Because, again, if we get something, particularly with what happened with Preston on Tuesday, get a quick early goal. And again, this goes back, we've got to take chances. If we do that, I think it's going to be there. And I think that's what we'll probably do. I think we'll probably go off like the absolute clappers. Or I'd hope we go off like the absolute clappers for the first 15, 20. And if we don't do it then, yes, you can go back. Yes, you can regroup. Then you can come back for the second half. But yeah, that's what I hope to see. That first 10, 15... really, really going at them, make them not feel like they want to be there.
Steve?
Yeah, I was actually also just going to, on the Begovic thing, I do wonder also if there's a thing about, you know, this guy's had a long career. The goal kick rule changed four years ago, something like that, where players can receive the pass in the penalty area. That's massively changed how goalkeepers, the role of a goalkeeper in starting the play in possession. And he's most of his career, he's not had that rule. Basically, he played in years where that rule wasn't a thing, and he's just not suited to it. It's just so patently obvious. He's just not suited to it. But anyway, that's enough. That's enough about Begovic. But I said a lot about the Preston game, but it's just front foot, as Simon said. It's the biggest opportunity. I personally think a draw. I take a draw. Just like I was comfortable, not massively, given we'd thrown away the lead, but I was fairly comfortable with the draw against Plymouth, because what you can't do in these games, and Clint said it earlier, you cannot lose them. You cannot lose these games. We could not lose to Plymouth. You know, when they had that free kick right at the end of the match, and they're like, Morgan Whittaker's lining it up, and I was just kind of looking to the heavens, thinking, come on, we've come a long way for this. But you know, we had all of that. Don't lose those games. I that might sound pretty negative and low expectation, but just don't lose. And let's just see where we are at 5:15, and let's just press on from there. I think you made a massively good point there, Simon, about the later kickoff, and it being a later kickoff, especially, you know, we're not going out early kickoff, all of that kind of stuff. You see so many good teams underperform in those early kickoffs. Late kickoff under the lights. Let's have it.
And of course, our record with Sky is excellent. Reality calling. I really wish you hadn't said about them having the really bad stats. It's like, so I'm old enough to remember. Simon's a bit younger than me, of course. And so is yourself, Steve. Of when, oh, he hasn't scored for 15 games. Oh, he's been injured for 2 years. Oh, he's fallen down the leagues. He's lost his way. Hello comes charity case QPR just to help you back into that. Yeah. I think when you've seen Dean score so many goals against you, you start wondering if you do wonder. And just to go back to Lyndon Dykes, I really want him to do well. And I think I'm thinking about when we're talking about moving on, I think that comes from a mutual thing for the club and him. I don't like seeing players getting slaughtered all the time. And I think, you know, he's one season away from that. I mean, I think one of the stats, which is terrible really, is that Senny Dien scored more away goals than he has, and he left, and he's a goalkeeper. And it's not good. And I think the strikers, I mean, I just can't believe it's another season, as I said earlier on, Steve, with just no one hitting double figures. It's not good, is it? Another season.
He is being asked to do quite a specific job in playing very deep and get more. You actually, and this is why Cifuentes does it, you know, we carry more threat with him or Frey playing deeper, with Chair Willock sort of going, you know, playing more offensively in the channels. You know, that's why we do it. And when you play Armstrong, what tends to happen when Armstrong starts, like against Sheffield Wednesday, is the default becomes just knock it long. Just get the ball and knock it long, because Sinclair will burn the defenders with pace. And he can. But what often happens with that, and it happened against Sheffield Wednesday, and it happened against Stoke as well, you know, no one's kind of following up. Do you know what I mean? Like he's running off with the ball, beating defenders, outpacing them, and there's no one else behind him. There's no one for him to square it to. So it's a real problem that we don't really have the magic formula. I think all of this boils down to the fact that, look, it's deeply imperfect. The squad we've gone into the season with, we've been saying relegation all season, is a really difficult situation the club has got itself into. It's imperfect. So when we get walloped by teams like Hull, I don't worry about that too much, because they're really good. They've got quality players. But this game on Saturday, that is going to be different. So we'll see. And maybe Lyndon will score the winner. Who knows?
Is it a different angle with you, Simon? Do you feel that surviving relegation will lead us, and you can come back into this as well, Steve, once Simon's finished, onto greater things? Cifuentes is the man. Will proved to be a success at Rangers?
Right, first of all, 100%, I have every faith in Cifuentes being able to change it. I mean, look at what he's done. Look at what he's done with that horribly unbalanced squad that we've got. I think what I was going to say with Steve's point, and I think with all of the criticism of the strikers, one, it's almost left the three behind them off the hook a little bit, because we have a think about it. Chair's only got what, 5 goals? Willock's only got 1 goal in the last 21. And for all everyone saying, oh, Willock's better, really? He's still no way. Essentially, we're saying that because he's putting a bit of a shift in now compared to what he might have been doing before. Anderson, from a really good start, seems to have fallen off a bit, albeit he can take a really good corner. But it's those three behind. Chair, since the Rotherham game, since the sentencing, hasn't looked the same player. And yes, we can make the allowances, I think, for Ramadan, because I think he has that pretty much every time he's had Ramadan. He always has a little dip in form. But the three behind need to step up a little bit as well. It's all very easy for us to go, oh, Dykes this, Dykes that. And it's all true, but you need other people to contribute. And again, it's a damning statistic, the fact that the only people who have been scoring for us at the moment is Sam Field and Jimmy Dunn and Steve Cook. It's not sustainable. And to be fair, the three behind need to step up a little bit more as well.
Yeah, yeah, obviously the one that's going to get a lot of stick is Clippy Smith. Sorry, Steve.
Yeah, well, just on the... I think a lot of this speaks to fatigue as well. You talk about Anderson. I don't think Anderson had actually played any football really this season.
No.
And, you know, you've got Frey, who basically hadn't played any football, it appears, before he joined us. And I think you're seeing the limits of... I think, yeah, we've probably hit the ceiling already in terms of what those players are able to contribute, really. That could be the famous last words, of course. Anderson will probably score a brace now. But it's, you know, they were very important signings to take the pressure off of other players. But yeah, I think we're hitting a bit of a limit with what they're able to kind of contribute now. Well, that's certainly true of Frey. It's a really tough one. The finishing just hasn't been good enough. Paul Smith against Plymouth, I mean, that's just such a good chance. Very few goals from midfield, other than Sam Field. And Chair just... What annoys me about Chair, so I think Chair's a wonderful player. I think he's by mile the most creative player we have. He's been vital, for not just this season, but for many seasons. He does have a habit of just cutting inside and firing it, you know, normally off target, over the bar from 25 yards. And it does kind of get infuriating after a while. Yes, he scored a couple of belters like that, as has Willock, but they try it quite a lot and it has a very low kind of success rate. So comes back to chance creation as well. Just not particularly creative team. But again, all of this is about, it's a very average squad. It's not a terrible squad, but it's just a pretty average squad for this level. It's light. And the fact that we're in the position we're in is a massive testament to Cifuentes. I think it's going to be really interesting if we stay up. I think we will stay up. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting watching how Cifuentes builds this team. He's done very well kind of with the team out of possession. The underlying numbers speak to that. How does he get more out of a team offensively? I don't think we've seen that. I don't think we've seen, and yeah, it might be a player thing, of course, but I don't think we've seen enough in terms of how do we, how in possession do we carry more threat? I think that's still something... I still think that's something we're yet to see, and it's going to be really interesting to do that. And hopefully, you know, you never know. We keep saying this, don't we? Ibirieze might get sold in the summer, especially when he scores important goals in title races, as he did at the weekend. You know, we could have a decent amount of headroom, and yeah, I'm actually more fascinated than I'm about Cifuentes as to how Christian Nouri and I don't really know what's going on with the director of football thing. Maybe you guys know more about this than I do, but I don't really know whether that's even being sought at the moment.
My suspicion is Nouri is de facto director of football.
Yeah, that's kind of how I saw it. But I'm really interested to see how our recruitment evolves over the next kind of few transfer windows. You know, we'll have a bit more resource. I don't think, unlike a lot of people on social media, I don't think we should be throwing money at Cifuentes and sort of giving him whatever he wants. There was some guy on BBC London after the Swansea game even saying, you know, one of the presenters saying, oh, with QPR, I've got to match Cifuentes' ambition. It's like, yeah, okay, that's how we end up with problems like we have.
Yeah.
We've got to do this in a measured way. So I'm fascinated to see how that stuff evolves, really, with a new guy at the helm in Christian Nouri. And yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how Cifuentes, the role Cifuentes plays within that. But
can he yeah. make players better? Can he improve Smith's finishing? Can he improve the engine on Anderson? Can he, you know, this will be the telling thing, because we're not going to be able to change the whole squad. We've got massive amount of players leaving this season. Can he get Richard's head right? You know, it's a hell of a job he's got in his hand still without my stand up. Even so, it'd be interesting to see, but. I'm with him. I think we'd be absolutely insane to talk of anybody else, even if we went down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, that's. I think that presents a whole number of other problems, that scenario. So yeah, but I'm quite excited. We just need to get over this line, and if we do, then let's be optimistic going into the summer. We'll certainly be more optimistic than we were last summer. If we stay up.
Now, be honest with me, Simon, because I know I'm biased towards Irish players, and I always will be, because they're the ones that can understand my accent when I get them on the podcast. But are we putting too much pressure on the likes of Smith as he hit his ceiling in the Championship? Is he an impact player? What is the stick on fur that he's getting, basically, is what I'm trying to ask. Or should he be doing better?
To be honest, he's a bit of a curate's egg again, because out of a front sort of whatever at the moment, he's the most threatening by quite a long way.
But that's true.
You can't not be finishing these, and it is an element of technique, because most of the time we're not aiming sort of like low and far post. He's actually aiming near post or in the centre. It was the same with Chair at Plymouth. When he managed to get through and he decided to wallop one at the near post, you can potentially coach being able to go into the far post. And I talked about it, didn't I, back in August when I went to the training session, and I made that sort of throwaway comment about how I thought the finishing and the standard of finishing was shocking.
I remember that.
And it was. I mean, it was a training run and only about 50% of the shots were going in. You can't be doing that in a training session without pressure or anything like that. I think you can coach those little bits. You can surely coach someone to hit far post or something like that. Surely you can be able to take someone to one side and do that. Because, yeah, it is a shame about Smith, but at the end of the day, he should have four goals in two games. He should have four goals in two games. Simple as that. And to make the same sort of mistakes, like, he did one at Plymouth, I don't know if you remember, Steve, the one where he was going through and then he decided to run right towards the touchline. And when you're like, are you keeping it in the corner for 10 minutes or something like that? And it was, you can coach little things like that to do better. Look, he's worth persevering with, because he does provide a little bit of a threat. He is difficult to work with, but yeah, it's going to need a bit of intense work on his finishing, without a doubt.
But I also think, to be fair to him and everyone else, and we do suffer from no strikers in the box, from players overlap. I mean, the trouble, I know we talk about Sinclair and the long chase, but 9 out of 10 times, Sinclair's up there by himself. He's 10 yards ahead of everyone else, and we're trying to follow through. And we're not picking up apart from Field, who picked up at Plymouth, that, you know, them players in the box, it's not... I hate the word rocket science because I don't know why, but I just do. But it's obvious if you get players in the box in the Championship, you will get goals. We just don't seem to have that. I mean, it's like on... I mean, we'll talk about Hull quickly, the three goals we conceded. I think the first one was a good goal. I think the keeper should have done better, and I think he should have been closed down. The second one, Willock kind of was doing what he was doing, give the ball away, and they ran down and scored. And the third one, I think we'd given up by then. But it kind of shows you the work that he will have on his hand, doesn't it, Steve? He's stay up, and then give him a good preseason, and let's see what he can do. You know,
Yeah,
he
and it
excites me.
yeah, no, he does, and he's been very impressive since he came in, given the situation that he came into. But it's and I think it's going to be a lot of new players. You know, you spoke to it before. There's a lot of players clearly going to be out the door that were, you know, that we'll end up speculating. We don't know, do we? But you know, probably Chris Willock. Obviously, the goalkeeper. I find it. I don't think it's very likely the goalkeeper will still be here next season. You know, they'll be looking at contracts of others. We need to start selling players. You know, we've said it so many times on this pod. You know, we need to start monetizing talent. The one I'm actually looking at, and I don't know what's going to happen. He'll probably sign a new contract tomorrow. But is Sinclair Armstrong? Because if he doesn't sign a new contract, we're going to have to think about moving him on. That's just the reality of the situation. The club, regardless of the amount of headroom that we have next season with FFP, regardless of any of that, the club can't still keep making the losses that it's making. It doesn't matter if the losses are allowed or whatever, it just can't keep doing that. So we've got to start identifying the players who are going to be sold. And that's still quite tricky, actually, if you look at this team. Who are the two players, maybe three players who are going to provide us with the sales revenue? You know, I don't know. It's a difficult one, but I don't know. Let's just get through this season first. When I was last on here, I was very optimistic. I thought we were basically safe, and I'd have been happy to talk about what a glorious kind of world we're going to be in next season. But it's just kind of like, let's get the win against Preston first, and then we'll have a good old discussion about what's going to happen next season. But yeah, don't know.
That's a nice segue into predictions, because I forgot to do them last time, Simon, and you were very kind and reminded me afterwards, or someone did anyway. Oh, yeah, it was George that I forgot to do predictions. So we shall do predictions, and then we'll do ours end, and then we'll have a prayer, which is hard for me because I'm an atheist. Simon,
I'm going to go 2-1 win.
no mess and nurse on.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Simon on that. I think we will win. It's so hard, isn't it? Any number of permutations could have happened by 5 o'clock, which will affect kind of the mental state of players. But we've just got to go for it. We've got to seize the opportunity, get over the line, move on.
I'm going for 4-0. I've no idea why, but why the hell not? I think it's either going to be a really just breathe and we make it easy for ourselves and we get a few goals, or it's going to be incredibly tight. And I don't want to think about that because it makes me depressed. Because coming back from Hull on Saturday in the train, everyone's kind of like, it's taken its toll. You can see the last few seasons has taken its toll on the fan base, and you can see that people are getting a little bit weird, not weary, they're getting a little bit battle weary, I think. And you know, we need some good times ahead, and I think just get us safe, then we can all have a laugh at buggering up Leeds' promotion, and you know, which probably won't happen. And then just go to Coventry and just have a jolly nice day out without the pressure of think of you know the you always see the old days, don't you? Everyone on the wirelesses, as they call them, taking them to the grounds and panicking like mad, and now it's the mobile phones and everything else. But I just don't want to go to Coventry needing to win. I just don't. It's just too depressing. We've been here. We've read this book too many fucking times. So let's not have that chapter and verse again. Let's just have a nice, easy win Saturday, put relegation to bed, and then we can do the next few podcasts. Who we're keeping? Who we're bringing in? Like Johansson of Rotherham or whoever, and just get on with it. Simon, Oz End, would you like to say anything? Or have you said everything you want to say?
I think I've said everything I want to say, really. And if you don't mind, I'm going to go and cook some dinner. So I'll leave you to come up with an Arzen, like I know you will do. It's been lovely talking to you, and and hopefully we'll be chatting next week, and we'll be celebrating 3 points, which pretty much keeps us in the league.
This is the first time I've ever bored Simon to cook. Thank you, Simon. And I'll see you later. Cheers, big man.
I'll see you later. Take care, everyone. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Stephen, and then there was two.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
do you think it's stuff we said, mate?
Yeah, I know. They've all gone, haven't they?
that's all right. We can slag them off now. Go on, what's your odds, Ed?
Well, I'm mindful that, you know, when I was on here a couple of weeks ago, we started talking about Premier League, FFP and whatnot, and we could end up, you know, I don't want to bring up the FA Cup stuff that's kind of come out today, but because we could be here for another half.
That's time. A shocker. It's just a shocker. It's disgusting.
We said it a couple of weeks ago. It's the direction of travel things are going in. Until people, fans, media, etc., until they push back, it's just going to keep happening. But that's not what I wanted to really talk about because that could be a very long discussion. But
all I will say, Steve, before we go on to the next thing, I just think it shows you that the FA and the Premier League just do these things. And if they ever use the advertiser slogan again, it's the people's game. I will piss myself laughing. That's all I'm saying about that one.
No, they follow the money. That is the world, and they're no different. And I just think the lack of consultation for the FA from the FA to the EFL to non-league, I just don't know what their purpose is at the moment with this stuff. So who are they representing? What are their values? You know, I don't know. Anyway, we could talk about that for a long time. No, I just wanted to kind of in the R's end, just talk about some stuff on Twitter that there's a great tactical sort of recruitment analytics account from Australia, a guy called Greg Spires, I think it is. I think he's based in Australia. And he's been putting out some really interesting content. You can go and find it. I think it's, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Greg Spires. And just talking about, you know, the kind of players that we should be aiming to recruit, some really nice tactics, tactical insights on Medium. And I just thoroughly recommend if you're interested in that kind of aspect of the game to give Greg a follow. Some really nice content being produced. And I think it speaks to and he's not the only one. There's some really good tactics and analytics stuff going out there on Twitter now. You've got the guy as the Ars Insights guy. You've got Dan Lambert, who's done some stuff with Clive on Love for Words. It's there's some really good stuff out there. And there's, you know, for all we talk about kind of modern football, it's all getting worse. And there are many aspects of it, which are, I think, this opportunity that we have to consume really interesting content that would never be covered historically by anybody. I think is a great opportunity for fans to learn more and understand more about the game. And podcasts as well, Paul, you know, great podcast.
Hey, what?
That provide a bit of flavour around what's going on at the club as well.
Mate, we've lost two people. They've dived overboard during the course of our conversation.
I don't know how long we've been running for now, but I suspect we've probably got a crack on, haven't we? So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. It's a bit, yeah, then there was two. I feel like the two musketeers gone wrong, I tell you. Yeah, I think that's good. But my odds end is very simple. I've got 2 points. There is a programme for In the Blue and White Bar on Sunday. You can read all about it on Retro QPR. Martin Percival and Chris Guy and Dave Robinson and a few others are there. And that's going to be brilliant. And if people can get down there, I think there's all kinds of programme and QPR memorabilia. And just maybe after the press, then can be a good place to let off some steam and all meet up and have a group hug. And on 14 minutes on Saturday, remember Teddy, who we lost last year, one of our own at 14. So don't keep him in his thoughts. His family's going to be there on Saturday. He'll be in our thoughts. And let's show them that we never forget anyone at Rangers. We look after our own. And I just want us to win Saturday. I desperately, desperately, desperately want us to win. And thank you, Steve, for coming on. I would say thank you to Clint and Simon, but they're gone. But thanks anyway, guys. I mean, yeah. You know, and yeah, come on, Rangers, let's get safe and everyone stay safe in this mad, mad world. And hopefully all we've got to worry about on Saturday is, I don't know, just going home and having a couple of pints and chilling. We deserve it. So come on, Rangers, make that happen.